Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea is a fascinating and intricate topic, far more complex than anyone can master. Our expertise resides in storytelling by professionals who know the tea lands from birth and speak the native tongue. We believe that transparency is grounded at origin, which is why the Tea Biz portal enlists 40 voices skilled in 12 languages to tell the story of tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Increased food safety testing of Indian tea reveals a 42% failure rate. Kenya tea growers report double-digit increases in volume on favorable weather. And Kumon growers break ground on their community-owned factory in the Himalayas. Plus, coverage of the recently concluded 25th session of the United Nations FAO Intergovernmental Group on Tea continues this week as Managing Editor Arvinda Ananthiraman debriefs Joydeep Phukan, Secretary of India's Tea Research Association and the principal officer at the Toklai Tea Research Center in Jorhat, Assam. They engage in a wide-ranging chat on the benefits of regenerative agriculture in combating a changing climate, enhancing trade, elevating smallholders, and marketing healthy hydration to youth. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Last October, following an audit critical of the tea industry's diligence in monitoring tea factories and regulating the use of pesticides, India's Food Safety and Standards Authority, FSSAI, announced it would expand sampling at its 220 mobile testing and 247 accredited laboratories. In January, the Tea Board of India reported that 42% of the 245 tea samples failed to meet FSSAI norms, prompting the Assam Tribune to write, quote, "The findings of the FSSAI are not something unexpected given that the use of prohibited pesticides and chemicals has been rampant across tea estates. This failure to stick to quality norms has, in fact, affected our exports for some time now," end quote. The Indian Tea Association writes that stakeholders in the value chain, namely producers, buyers, and packeteers, are responsible law-abiding entities providing the Indian consumer with a safe and sustainable cup of tea. ITA Secretary General Arjit Raha said ITA supports comprehensive testing to check compliance. He said that testing is being done regularly by tea producers and buyers. The testing protocol includes FSSAI-prescribed plant protection formulations and covers testing of banned chemicals. Raha told The Statesman, quote, "There is, however, a need to create further testing infrastructure, including a testing mechanism for green leaf. The Indian Tea Association has flagged this with the appropriate authorities," end quote. The use of pesticides is so widespread that some observers predict the crackdown will result in declining yields. Quote, production will fall because the softer pesticide chemical cannot kill the pests as effectively as those banned. Secondly, people cannot easily get away from bad habits, so I feel some will still use the banned chemicals, get caught, and in that way, tea will be destroyed, said former tea board chairman Prabhnath Besbara in the New Indian Express. Concern has since expanded to imports. Tests of 36 samples of Nepal tea reveal 14 failed to meet FSSI standards, mainly due to residues indicating the use of prohibited pesticides. In January, after meeting with stakeholders, Union Commerce Minister Piyush Goyal directed FSSI to increase the testing of imported teas for compliance with quality norms. Concerns raised about the quality of imported tea apply to domestic teas as well, said Board Chairman Omdareep Singh Bhatia. The present testing protocol allows tests of 36 chemicals for tea. FSSAI now screens for all 20 pesticides banned in growing tea. Under the Food Safety Standards Act, laboratories must also test for contaminants, toxins, and residues. During the 8 months ending August, India imported 14.75 million kilos of tea. Nepal was a top supplier at 8.1 million kilos, with an additional 3.1 million kilos from Kenya and 1.2 million kilos from Vietnam. During the same period in 2022, India imported 17.8 million kilos of tea. Business Insight. FSSAI CEO G. Kamala Vardhana Rao stressed the importance of switching to biopesticides to ensure safety and quality. Rao supports harmonizing standards at the Codex Alimentarius Commission level. There are 180 Codex member countries. Every country has set its limits on food quality standards. Rao said tea must be free from, quote, extraneous matter, added coloring, and harmful substances. The guidelines say that pesticides cannot exceed the maximum residue limit, or MRLs. Favorable rainfall boosted early season production by 15% among Kenya Tea Development Agency smallholder growers who have seen improved prices despite a glut of tea. KTDA Group Executive Wilson Mithura told Nairobi-based People Daily, quote, "We are working around the clock to push as much tea as possible with other stakeholders, including government agencies. Our single focus remains improving the earnings for farmers," he said. From June 2023 through January 31, 2024, the average price of KTDA teas increased by 3% from $2.70 per kilo, it's about 389 Kenyan shillings, to $2.78 per kilo, about 400 Kenyan shillings per kilo. In September 2023, KTDA announced a record 44 billion shilling final payout to smallholder tea farmers that lifted farmers' total earnings for the year by 7.6%, setting an all-time high of 67 billion shillings, or about $630 million U.S. dollars. According to the Tea Board of Kenya, tea output for the first 10 months of 2023 rose 8.6% to 412 million kilos through October. Production by KTDA growers has increased by 15.2% since June, with farmers west of the Rift Valley benefiting from El Nino rains. Growers also applied more fertilizer as the cost of urea retreated from record highs per ton. In 2021, fertilizer prices increased by 143% to an all-time high of $1,050 per ton in April 2022, before descending to historical prices that hover around $500 per ton. Urea prices rose by 22.5% in 2024. Greenleaf production rose to 763 million kilos, compared to 663 million kilos of green leaf delivered to KTDA-managed factories during the same seven-month period ending in January on the 31st. Demand at auction enabled KTDA factories to increase payments to smallholders by 4 shillings to a total of 24 shillings per kilo for green leaf harvested west of the rift, while factories east of the rift increased their rate from 21 to 25 shillings per kilo in January 2024. KTDA sold 152 million kilos of processed tea compared to 148 million kilograms within the same period last year, representing a 2.8% increase in sales, mainly for export. Primary trading partners include Russia, Pakistan, Sudan, Egypt, Afghanistan, and the United Kingdom. Smallholder farmers in the Kumaon region of the Indian Himalayas broke ground this week for a factory they will own and operate in partnership with U.S.-based Young Mountain Tea. Kumaon Tea co-founder Raj Vrabel said the first-of-its-kind factory ushers in a new era of economic resiliency and autonomy for local farmers. The project was financed by the USAID Cooperative Development Program, U.S.-based Frontier Co-op, Acumen, and Desmond Birkbeck, a multi-generation Kumaon tea farmer who has been the project's primary on-the-ground champion and investor. Vrabel explains that Kumaon's tea farmers, 90% of whom are women, will earn up to 5 times commodity rates for their harvest, with additional income through their collective ownership in the factory. Kumaon was once known for its quality tea, but suffered catastrophic landslides that destroyed infrastructure and limited access to the region. At that time, quote, Indian tea farmers didn't own any aspect of the trade. The land, the tea factories, not even their homes. The legacy of this colonial origin still impacts farmers today, he said. Vrabel added, Kumaon tea is set to redefine the Indian tea industry through a commitment to farmer equity, regenerative agricultural practices, and world-class teas. The 170-year-old heritage Kumaon tea bushes, some of the oldest in India, produce black, white, and green teas with bright, complex flavors like the best from Darjeeling. The tea is grown at 4,000 to 6,000 feet above sea level. The high elevation contributes to the distinctive flavor profile of the tea, as cooler temperatures allow the more robust flavors to develop thanks to slower growth and beneficial environmental stressors. Samples of the first 4 organic teas from the factory will be available in June and will ship to buyers in September. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 1st March 2024. In headlines this week, Tata Tea is under scrutiny again as Shanta Chetri, a former parliamentarian from Kurshong, has written to the offices of the Prime Minister of India and the Commerce Minister, raising concerns about Tata consumer products, consumer packs. She has said that the company blends the tea with those from Nepal, which does not meet safety standards and is unsafe for consumption. She has urged the food safety regulator, FSSAI, and the tea board to test the tea for MRL levels of banned pesticides. The company has responded that they do not import directly from Nepal and that any Nepalese tea in blends is sourced from Indian traders. Tata has explained that their teas are rigorously tested within the company and deemed safe for consumption. Must be noted that in 2021, Tata Tea in Darjeeling were at loggerheads when the tea board prohibited blending of imported teas with GI-protected Darjeeling, Assam, Kangra, and Nilgiri teas. A year later, this ban was lifted. In other news, Indian government mandates 100% of dust to be sold at auction. The amendment of the Tea Marketing Control Order 2003 will come into force from 1st April 2024. And one of the directives of the new order is that 50% compulsory sale of all tea and 100% sale of dust grades via the public auctions starting 1st April. And this order is targeted at estates in North India, which covers Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, Bihar, Himachal Pradesh, Meghalaya, Mizoram, Nagaland, Sikkim, Tripura, Uttarakhand, and West Bengal. Thus, grades account for 25% of Assam and West Bengal tea production. Retail prices for CTC dust are currently at 160 to 190 rupees per kilo. And the move is thought to support greater compliance of tea towards boosting exports, but industry stakeholders are divided in their opinion on this move. And lastly, Atul Astana, Managing Director and the CEO of the Godrej Group Limited, has resigned after 39 years with the company. The Godrej Group includes 18 storied gardens, including Turbo, Padamtam, Panspec in Darjeeling, Nonaipara in Assam, and Hope in the Duars. Astana led the company to years of profitability, retaining its position as a top contender in the tea market. He was also an active supporter of the tea industry and currently chairman of the Indian Tea Association. The decision to resign, he has said, was for personal reasons.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
Coverage of the recently concluded 25th session of the United Nations FAO Intergovernmental Group on Tea continues this week as Managing Editor Arvinda Ananthiraman debriefs Joydeep Pukhan, Secretary of India's Tea Research Association and the Principal Officer at the Tokhlai Tea Research Center in Jorhat, Assam. They engage in a wide-ranging chat on the benefits of regenerative agriculture in combating a changing climate, enhancing trade, elevating smallholders, and marketing healthy hydration to youth.
In January this year, the Tea Research Association of India hosted a two-day event to commemorate 200 years of Assam tea. It was called the Bicentenary Assam Tea International Conference 2024. The event was spearheaded by Joydeep Pukhan, Principal Officer and Secretary TRA. So we caught up with Joydeep to hear about what went into the planning of the event and what he hopes guests have taken away from it. It was really nice to be there and at Batik and to meet everyone, attend some of the sessions. The last time we spoke for TBiz was on the FAO IGG session that was being hosted by India. And of course, a bicentennial celebration was added to it. So can you tell us a little bit about what went into planning these events?
When we had the Hangzhou session of the FAO IGG, that was the 23rd session, which was held in May 2018. So India proposed to host the next session, that is the 24th session of the FAO IGG in India. We had hosted in 2010 also in Delhi, and during that time, it was 3 days of the FAO IGG on tea, and which was preceded by the 100 years of centenary of Tokhlai, actually. So when it was decided that like it's going to be held in India in 2020, the whole FAO IGG session got postponed by nearly 3 years. We decided to host the Bicentenary Conference of Assam Tea. So back to back on the same format, like 2 days of the Bicentennial Assam Tea Conference, followed by the 25th session of the FAO IGG. In fact, both, if you see, those are landmarks, like 200 years plus 25th session of the FAO IGG. Yeah. Not many big tea meetings have been held in Assam. And for holding this meeting, I think the full credit goes to our Honorable Commerce Minister, Piyush Goyal ji, when the proposal was put up by the Commerce Ministry. So Mr. Goyal straight away said that, like, see, if it's tea, it has to be held in Guwahati, in Assam. I felt good because I belong to Guwahati. Although there are some challenges in terms of the local logistics and the infrastructure, but I think people enjoyed, and we had a lot of programs outdoors, actually. Weather was very good.
I think the choice of sessions at BATIC and also later the IGG are all things that reflect the current concerns of the tea industry, whether it's in marketing of tea or adopting technology or regenerative agriculture. Is there something here that you'd like to share about what went into putting together the program and some of the takeaways that you're particularly excited by?
The whole idea of the Bicentennial Assam Tea Conference was to take a stock of what we have done in the last 200 years. It's kind of a SWOT analysis kind of a thing, because since Assam produces more than 50%, so if we do an analysis of Assam, then we can extrapolate into Bengal and South India. We are producing more teas than we are consuming, actually. But the one side is that you can cut production, and then it's like there is a stopgap arrangement, actually. But the main long-term goal is to create more demand for tea, and wherein everyone becomes more, everyone participates. Like, if the industry does well, the small growers does well, the organized sector does well, and the entire value chain in the tea industry. So initially, in fact, we thought of getting the Starbucks chief CEO also as one of the speakers, as one of the another keynote speaker. But since he's heading Starbucks, and then so I think there was a more of a communication or the PR issue. The general perception among people is that coffee is seen to be more trendy, more happening among the younger generation. So the idea was that, like, see, maybe we get a tea person who's done well. We get a coffee person who's heading one of the largest coffee chains in the world, and in India also they're expanding. And then we have a different perspective, especially in China, Japan, Taiwan. They have done really well in repositioning tea. In fact, you see, if you see in China from 95 to about 2010, it was a big boom for the ready-to-drink teas. The RTDs replaced or is at par with water in China. Then after that, they have innovated with different formats like bubble tea. Then so those kind of things. Then the new format kind of stores, like I said, they are using quite a lot of technology in terms of bringing in the youngsters into tea. So the other thing was that, like, see how we can learn from these countries like China, Japan, Taiwan, and other Southeast Asian countries. So that is why we, of course, language would have been a problem, because, and thanks to LinkedIn, I connected with James Grayland. James has been there for the last 30 years in China, and he knows how the whole industry has evolved. So that's why he could and he was articulate in presenting to our audience what is happening, actually. So basically, to learn about what is happening in more mature markets and what we can learn from those things in repositioning tea. We had a special session on tea promotion and tea exports, wherein Mr. Harish Bijur, who's a branding expert, and in fact, one thing which was very surprising to hear from him is that, like, what he was telling about the Gen Alpha, the Alpha generation, from 2010 to 2025. If you recall, he said that only 4% of the Gen Alpha is into tea. So that's actually very, very small percentage, actually. And these are the generation which are going to basically drive consumption. But a lot of serious thoughts which he has given in to the policymakers in how to address the problem, actually, because we are producing every year, we are having maybe 3%, 4% extra production. It is increasing. But on the demand side, if you're not taking care of the situation, then I think we are in for a real problem, actually.
The session on marketing in particular brought such different perspectives, and I think it shook us all out of the way we've been thinking about marketing tea and what we may need to revisit in terms of some of our own ideas on how to promote tea, but also where the urgent focus needs to be.
There was a lot of negativity, or is it negativity, in the industry regarding prices, overproduction, and last year, 2023, was a very bad year, actually, for the Indian tea industry, and even globally also. So in this context, to have this events, both the events, it was really a challenging thing, because we were having our conference on 29th, 30th, and followed by the FAO. Of course, FAO is, these are more government-nominated delegates. But our target for the conference was about around, say, 300 people. So by 31st December, when we had the early bird cutoff registration date, we had only about 75 people, actually. So I would, basically, why I'm coming here is that, like, see, we use social media in a big way, like, basically approaching to people who are coming in and then asking for their videos, for their interviews, short interviews, posting on Instagram. Instagram, what I see is really, like, it helps, it connects to people. On the back end, we see that the kind of engagements which it is happening, we close around nearly about 450 delegates, actually. So I feel like for the industry, it's a big learning lesson. And most of the companies are there. But only thing is that, let's see how we project to the crowd or to the audience for drinking tea or for positioning tea. I think that is important, actually.
It was good to see so many from the industry at one event and also the networking event. In particular, I thought many planters were interested in the session on regenerative agriculture because many questions were being asked.
So the first presentation was to lay the problem in front of the audience, where we stand actually in terms of the climate change and it effects and the effects of climate change. Then basically how we can take things forward. The session on regenerative agriculture especially was a cross-learning from the cotton industry, actually. So Rajiv Borua is from the Better Cotton Initiative, and now he's a consultant with this UK group called Primark. So basically, cotton industry has been a little ahead of tea, but at the same time, when we were discussing with Mr. Borua on different aspects of regenerative agriculture, we have seen that, like, see what, like, maybe Toklai was suggesting or has been suggesting of, when you grow tea for about 50 years, when you uproot and you rehabilitate the soil for at least 18 months to 24 months, so you plant different grasses, different plants, so that, like, the soil is regenerated after 50 years of cultivation. And then you are, after 2 years of soil rehabilitation, you're back ready to go for another maybe 30, 40 years of planting. It's basically regenerative agriculture. What I have been seeing or hearing is that it's basically going back to the basics of doing agriculture. No tillage or very little tillage, so that, like, you see, you don't disturb the soil much. So then biochar, which we have been working on, so that biochar focus is very much there for regenerative agriculture. What we are trying to do is that we are trying to have takeaways from each of the sessions and try to implement it in a more structured manner, actually. So we are having a discussion with Tea Board also on how we can structure it in a more methodical way of taking it forward.
There were a couple of things that came up at the IGG, isn't it? The campaign called Tea Power, and also the news about the small tea grower headquarters shifting to India for the next few years. Anything about these two developments that you can share?
Yeah, so basically, like, Shabnam Weber, who's heading the Tea Association of Canada, Tea and Herbal Association of Canada. So she had made in our presentation, it was quite well thought out, because, like, Canada, US, and Australia, Canada, US, and UK are heading the tea and health working group, which was formed in 2022. So that is the youngest working group. But I think a lot of progress has been made in by that working group in terms of we had nearly about 12 meetings over the last 2 years. And then we zeroed in on, like, instead of going for two technical or more technical stuff like cardiovascular disease or maybe so where we can't prove without clinical trials. But we had zeroed in, the group had zeroed in on like sports and fitness and wellness, actually, and even beauty, how tea can enhance beauty, like the skin health, then how it can give you endurance and this thing. So like, so those were the decisions taken in the working group, and which Shabnam had briefly presented in her presentation in the Bicentennial Conference. And then later on, it was presented as a working group recommendation to the FAO, wherein the T power in terms of sports, fitness, wellness was decided, and how we can initiate a campaign. And every tweet, every social media messaging will go through, will have the concerned hashtags, which has been decided upon. So I think that was a big takeaway from the FAO session. Like, so we discussed with a larger audience in the BATI, and then like in the FAO, it was adopted as one of the main key implementation thing for the next 2 years. The other thing is the Confederation of the International Tea Smallholders, which was, it was mooted in 2016 in Nairobi session. And then in 2018, it was finalized in Hangzhou in China. And China was supposed to host it for the next 4 years, the headquarters. It was decided that, like you see, every 4 years it will shift from different country to country so that the entire smallholder can get benefited from the host country, what they have been doing on different areas to promote smallholders, and especially on the marketing and how they can have a better return for their produce. So India, in fact, if you see in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of focus on small tea holders. So Government of India also, when they are formulating the schemes for the next medium-term framework, they are putting more emphasis on the smallholders. Government of Assam has put in quite a lot of efforts. In fact, they've invested, I think, nearly about $2 million in setting up a dedicated R&D center at Toklai. So all this, what we feel is that, like, see, we should be able to hold workshops for member countries, like maybe Kenya, the African countries, Sri Lanka, even China. And then I think we can share more information and disseminate more information among the smallholder community. Another thing is that, like, we, of course, was, if you remember in the session, there was a Korean company called Tridge, so which they have used data analytics in a big way in trying to enhance or push exports of different commodities, actually. Some of the companies in India, especially in South India, have been using Tridge solutions. So we actually have given or exposed to a wider audience now. So once they come on, like you see, then I think indirectly, in a smaller way, they can find out newer markets, actually. So I think it's a e-marketplace for commodities. And I hope tea can get benefited through that platform.
The tea season is just about getting started in North India, isn't it? So as you look at 2024, I mean, you've had a great start, but what are you looking forward to for the rest of the year post IGG and also post a difficult 2023?
No, I feel like this year is going to be crucial for the industry, like Indian tea industry and the global tea industry, like more generic global tea industry, but like for Indian tea industry, because our production is, I think we are going to surpass the earlier record also, like you see, like it's going to, maybe going to touch about 1,400 million kilos for 2023. But at the same time, now the compliance issues of tea has come in a big way, actually. Last year, we had 2-3 meetings with the food safety regulator, which is the FSSI, and they flagged concerns on basically use of some compounds which is not desirable actually, or which is not approved, or maybe it may come through bioformulations, it may come through different concoctions. But at the same time, compliance is a big issue. And we, from our organization, DRA, we are working with all the front-end companies like PCPL, Hindustan Unilever, even different member companies of DRA in trying to address this issue. And end of this month, we are starting a campaign for the next 2 months on good agricultural practices, which more specific thing on plant protection measures, actually. See, what people need to spray, what they need to avoid, what they need to test. We have ramped up our both the labs which we have in TRA, one in Jorhat, one in Calcutta. So we have given a package solution to quite a lot of companies. Like, say, earlier, one company used to test maybe, say, 20 samples, 30 samples. Now, companies are saying that they are going to test minimum of 500 samples to 1,000 samples in a year. So we have given a package deal to them so that like they can test more and more for compliance. The other certification agencies like Trustee, we are implementing partners of Trustee in North India. So there also we are giving a special deal for the Trustee certified smallholders, wherein they can do it at a much cheaper cost at our labs. So I think this year, compliance will be an issue, and maybe I think with more and more compliance, maybe the production may not like reach that the 1400 million. Maybe it might come down actually, since compliance has been flagged off as a major issue for this year. We are not in a very doom and gloom situation. Like, you see, we have the production is there. It is only finding the market actually. So, and we are lucky to have a very, very strong domestic market, which is almost absorbing nearly 1,200 million kilos of tea. So it's like that extra push, both domestically as well as maybe for some new countries. And then, in that way, I think we need to learn from maybe other countries where they've been very passionate about promoting their teas. I think Sri Lanka, for instance, the Sri Lankan Tea Board chairman was there, Mr. Neeraj Dimel. And then, he couldn't come for the Batik conference, but he was there for the next 3 days. They have gone through real problems in terms of production plummeting quite drastically. But they have, I think, come back actually. See, if you see last year, they're going into different countries, having agreements, and so they're basically recapturing their earlier market share wherever they had. Here in India, what I have seen is that there's too much negativity in the industry. So that I think we need to change, because definitely things are going to change for the better. So we need to have a strategy.
Thank you, Joydeep. I look forward to seeing how things pan out, how the year shapes up. And I'm sure we'll connect again during the year to see how things are progressing. And once again, congratulations on two very successful events to kick off 2024.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of TBiz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.